Hey, everybody, and glad to have you again. And we're looking at session five, still in the book of Proverbs. The title of today's lesson is Following God's Design. The theme statement here is, or the summary statement is, God expects his people to show his wisdom through sexual purity. I know it starts out, my book starts out with the thought that we expect builders to follow blueprints, and failing to follow the prints and just building a house in any way you see fit would not turn out to be a good one. So it asks the question, what if you ignore the blueprint and just followed your heart as you built a house? How would your decision affect the construction process? Well, maybe at the very first and at the very beginning, it might have been exactly how you envisioned it and how nice it was. But then as humidity and air and cold and heat started affecting and all the settling of the house, next thing you know, it crumbles down around you because it wasn't built properly. They didn't follow design. So what we're looking at today is God's design for sexual relationship, which is God's design for that is between man and woman, husband and wife. Husband and wife being his design. It says God created humans as men and women. Sex was part of his creative plan. Failing to follow his design for sex only leads to problems down the road. Solomon addressed these traps, awaiting those who ignore God's design and blessing, and the blessings awaiting those who follow God's design. So, again, Proverbs, the theme of Proverbs is wisdom. The key verse is back in chapter 1, verse 7. I think it's important to look at that one. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I don't think it would be a bad idea to look at that verse every day. Again, we're not talking about, when talking about fear of the Lord, it's not being scared of him per se, but it's that reverent awe and that having that relationship with him, that's submitting to him wholly, and understanding that he wants us to understand his will for us, and for us to understand that, we have to, again, get in his word and talk to him and pray. And then we'll understand, especially when we're looking at this today, it's so practical for us, and especially for our kids growing up with all the temptations and things that are going on in today's world. This is just such a great lesson and such a practical application for us as adults, well, in everyday life. It starts out in verse 3 through 6, the verses we're going to look at. Again, we're in Proverbs chapter 5, verses 3 through 11, then 15 through 18. So Meredith, you'll read verses 3 through 6, and this, the title of this section is See the Reality, and it's verses 3 through 6 in chapter 5.
From the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. Her waves are movable, that thou canst not know them.
I think it's good to go back and actually look at verse 2, even though it's not part of our lesson, because he's going to contrast good and bad here all through here. And here's the good, chapter 5, verse 2, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. So he's urging his son to use his lips to pass along godly instruction to others, because there's some, we're not sure exactly when he's saying my son, exactly which son who he's talking to, but it's there's some reasonable expectations. This Rehoboam was definitely one of them who would end up succeeding his father as the king of Israel after Solomon, after his dad. So he's urging him to use his lips to give out godly instruction. And then the opposite of that, what we see here in verse 3 is for the, then he talks about a strange woman and how, of course here, he's talking to his son, so he's putting this in the aspect of a deceiving strange woman. Strange here being someone who's, this is not his wife. It's someone that he has no business having any type of sexual relationship with, because again, that's not part of God's design or God's will. Adultery is a sin, the Bible tells us that. And that this is in a stark contrast to using his lips to spread godly wisdom versus this lips of this woman. And the lips, it talks about the lips of a woman drop as a honeycomb and her mouth is smoother than oil. That is referring to speech. How sweet her speech sounds and how smooth it is, how good talker she would be. And again, this is very practical for us today, not just a man's side or a young man's side, but as a young woman's side too. Maybe you've got a wife somewhere at home and a husband don't tell her how much he doesn't love her, doesn't tell her he loves her enough, and maybe he's not giving her the attention she deserves, and she go to work, and then you got some guy there who has ulterior motives all of a sudden talking about how nice she is and how beautiful she is, and those that speech can be sweet and smooth, and that's where it goes, talks about here. But then it gives the warning about that speech, verse 4, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. The wormwood spoken of here was like a bush that they have. And it was readily available during this time in ancient Israel. And they would use it for medicinal purposes, but it's just like any medicine you take today. It doesn't seem to be very appetizing when you take it. But this is, it speaks of bitterness. Then it also talks about sharp as a two-edged sword. A two-edged sword is twice as dangerous as a single-edged sword. So in any direction you swing the sword, it has the ability to cut. And it speaks of cutting a person to pieces here. Then the warning gets even more dire. It's that her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. This is the path of this promiscuous woman. It leads to death here. If God's word tells us that when people take the path of satisfying sexual urges without restraint, they place their feet on a road that leads to hell. Hell, and some other translations, what's the word I'm looking for? Not the Leader Guide, but the, what's the other little book that we got in there, Meredith, that we look at sometimes? Anyway, it uses an ulterior translation other than the King James, and it translates this word hell as Sheol, which is a place of the dead. Mm-hmm. So that's what it's speaking of. It brings death. It doesn't bring. There's nothing good that comes out of here. Verse 6: Lest thou should ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst know them. So here he describes a person who's rejected God's wisdom. She don't know even the path that she's on, and she don't even understand the consequences that she's going to bring. So, and the fact that she has rejected God's wisdom, and that she took no thought about the disaster that she would make in her own life, and also in the life of the other person. She didn't have a true compassion for this person that she tried to seduce. She pretended to show compassion for him so she could lure him closer and get him within her reach. But sadly, she showed that she didn't care about herself either. So this is a person, again, as verse 7 in chapter 1 tells us, those who choose to reject God's wisdom are foolish. The next section we're going to look at is verses 7 through 11, and it's titled, Think Long Term. Meredith, if you'll read those for us.
Yep. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed.
Thinking long term. So we see here the consequences of not understanding the instruction that God has given us and that Solomon has given his sons. And we see here that he's also talking, he makes reference to ye children. So it was meant for all the, at this time, for the male children to understand what he's talking about. But it's also practical for all of God's people to understand this. And to not let these words depart from our hearts. But here he talks about of thy mouth, but it's what's written on our hearts. We get in God's word, and we read it, and we pray on it, and we meditate on it, and it'll be imprinted on our God, on our hearts, and it'll help us to understand God's will for us and his wisdom, and that we can allow that to show through our daily lives and our actions. Verse 8, it talks about remove thy way far from her and come not nigh to the door of her house. So how do you keep this from happening? You don't put yourself in circumstances to allow something like this to happen. I know me and Michelle were talking earlier about during the summers we used to separate, instead of having, still had an evening service for those who didn't go to someone else's house, but we'd break up into small groups. And it'd be different devotionals we would do. And I remember going to Fireman Stevens' house and doing this study called Guardrails. And it is exactly what it was. You think about guardrails on a road, they keep us safe. They keep us from going, they keep us on a safe path and keep us from heading on to a devastating path, a dangerous path. And what this was speaking of, even something as innocent sounding as it may be, is going to lunch with a coworker, just you and a female coworker, if you're a male. How innocent it may all start out, but it can be witnessed by someone else and be thought to be something that it's not, or God forbid, it turn into something you never intended for it to turn into. So the thing to do is just to not put yourself in those circumstances to where something wrong can happen. And if you're a child of God, you understand and you know when not to do something and when to do something. The Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart when there's these things that are put in front of you, these obstacles that are put on your path, as we talked about last week, this path to take. That we'll know which path to take. It's our choice to choose the right path. And so it's our choice just to not go on that lunch, or not to take that car ride, or whatever it may be, or not to click on that website, not to leave it on that television station that you have it put on. It could be anything that could end up harming or hurting your relationship that you have with your loved one. I heard it spoke about Billy Graham, that when he was out of town and his wife did travel with him, that he would have two men with him that would enter into his hotel room first to make a complete 100% assurance that there was no one else in there, especially a female person. So it can never be said of him that he had been unfaithful in any way to his wife. And I think that's awesome. Verses 9 through 11, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Here it's talking about what would happen to a person who chose to follow this wrong path. And this speaks of giving away thy honor. And that's respect, your dignity.
Reputation,
absolutely, yeah. So when we give in to this sexual immorality, and it always places a person in danger of losing these things. And that split second of pleasure always turns into a lifetime of disaster. Mm-hmm. And we all see that every day. But and nobody's saying that life is easy or these decisions are easy. It's it's not easy living here. Again, if you read your Bible, if you pray, if you talk with God, if you put yourself in the right circumstances, it's easier to stay on that right path it's easier to understand which path to take and to stay away from that bad path. It also talks about even when you lose your reputation and your honor, you run into financial hardship. We see that today. When there's infidelity in a marriage, there's divorce, then you end up, the man is end up, or the woman, whichever, however that works, you're paying more money to the other one. Then the kids, sadly to say, they're caught up in the middle of it, and one parent's saying, I want them for this period of time. The other one's saying, no, I want them just to, and it's just never a good thing. And then the scene shifts from the financial issues of it to the person's deathbed. And it says in verse 11, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. So the effects of this immorality have consumed his body. However, his physical pain brought on by disease could not compare to the anguish and humiliation he had endured because he had made a foolish choice. Then there's a question that says, when do people caught up in sexual sin usually come to see that they have been foolish? Now, how can we warn others about the disturbing consequences of sexual immorality? Well, I think a lot of times, sad to say, that people realize that they've made a foolish choice when they've been caught. And then the walls start crumbling down around them. That's why, in the second part of this question, why it's so important to read your Bible. Proverbs is the perfect book for you to start a daily devotional. There's 31 chapters, normally there's 31 days in a week, so today being a third, you can read chapter 3, and it only takes a few minutes. So if you're doing that, then when you get to chapter 5, and we'll see this strange woman again in chapter 7 too, I think, you'll get this wisdom of God here when it comes to how we protect ourselves from adultery or from any kind of foolishness when it comes to sexual sin. But that's how we can warn others, is by doing what we're doing now, sharing in a Sunday school lesson, sharing God's word and how to getting to pass along the word. God, Jesus's great commission to us is to go out and share the gospel. And part of sharing the gospel is the good news of Jesus loved us so much that he died for us, and then he overcame death and rose again so that we could have everlasting life. But also, Jesus talked about adultery as being a sexual sin. So sharing the good news of Jesus and all that goes along with it, and reading your Bible, praying for others, and again, supporting them and sharing God's word, just like we're doing right now. The last section we're going to look at is entitled Enjoy God's Provision, and it's verses 15 through 18.
Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Lest thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth.
So he starts out, we're seeing some word pictures, and Solomon likes to do this a lot, and I think it's pretty cool. He talks in verse 15 about a cistern and a well. You got to remember, in ancient Israel, we're talking about a desert-type atmosphere or climate, so it didn't rain very often, but when it did, that was precious to them. So a cistern was something that would catch rainwater and preserve it for later use. So they would hold this water in these giant containers, whether it be carved out of earth or made out of something else. But what he's asking here, what he's saying here, is to drink out of your own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. So he's speaking here of having a relationship with your own wife. Don't go outside to the strange woman who's not your wife. Have this relationship. Keep that relationship biblical, and God, through God's will and God's design, is between husband and wife, man and woman. And then he asks a question here in verses 16, let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and the rivers of the waters into the street. So he's asking this rhetorical question, had you rather just pour this water that you kept out down the street and just waste it? You know, why would you do that? Why would you leave your wife and go and have this strange woman? Why would you do that? It makes no sense. And then 17, he answers that, let them be thine own and not strangers with thee. You know, don't make the foolish mistake of thinking that, you know, we've all heard the earthly proverb, the grass is always looks greener on the other side. But that's not always the case, that's for sure, because I know I've got greener grass in my backyard in certain areas because that's where the tail lines of my septic tank come from. And that's usually what that ends up being. So don't be foolish and stray away from your own wife or your own husband. It's a road that leads to disaster. And we can all see that every day. And we have people in our paths every day that we've seen that happen to. And probably can count more than one. And probably a lot, sad to say. Verse 18, let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. So here he's talking about be blessed. And this word be blessed here in Hebrew, it's not being self-blessed, but it's the blessing that comes from someone else. And that someone here is God. When we think about God blessing a marriage, you think of longevity of the marriage. You think of health of the marriage. You think of children. And you think of prosperity, and these things will come out of a godly designed marriage, and a husband and wife and following godly wisdom through their marriage. It will be blessed. And the last question it asks here, it says, who are your role models for marriage and why? So Meredith, I'm gonna let you answer that.
Yeah. So my grandparents, mom's mom and dad, I call them mom and pop, they have always been just like the model of marriage, and now I know model of biblical marriage, but I've always looked up to them for that, and I've always admired just the relationship and the covenant that they have with each other. And I think it's even more apparent now after my grandmother's passed that I think the thing that stands out to me the most is my grandfather's faithfulness to her and just the passion that he still has for her, even though she's passed now. He knows she's in heaven. He knows that she's way better off than any of us ever are right now. But the love that he still has for her, the way he took care of her, and just it was the most beautiful model of, you know, the wife submitting to the husband, like, in the way that it should be, and in the way that he just respected her so much. She was a very independent woman. I look up to her a lot for that. I'm very much like her in that aspect. And she submitted to him. They had respect for each other. They had so much love for each other. And my grandfather continues to say all the time, you know, when he went off and served in the army, that he always tells me, Meredith, I never cheated on her once. I never cheated on her once. And he will still repeat that all the time. He is so proud of that. And my grandmother too, she, when he was off in the army, I mean, she helped his mother out at home, and they were just like the relationship that I want for myself in the future, and that, you know, I want for my future kids, and, all of that. So I've always looked up to them for that.
Yeah. She passed away. Five years ago, and they had been married 45 years, and he'll tell you today that he's been married 50 years, so he still counts their anniversaries. So as Meredith talked about, her submitting to him, but it also requires a husband to love his wife as Jesus loved the church, and we all know that Jesus gave his life for the church. I hope this was helpful, and we pray that everybody's healthy and good, and we look forward to seeing you Sunday. And I wish everybody a happy Independence Day. And we ask you pray for our country and pray for our church. And we love you. We'll see you soon.